You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody. We're going to try and get out of here as quick as possible so we can watch Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders. Thank you for coming and watching 5 rounds. Give you the lowdown on this very, very, very lackluster card. Let's hit that intro. Hello, guys. I am Mags, and with me, as always, the Arco Substrack British champion, Carlos. Carlos, how are you?
I'm not too bad.
All right, let's quickly fly through this card because even though it was quite a long card, there's not that many actual talking points, to be fair. The card actually was ravaged during the week. It started at the beginning of the week with just one fight named after the Diego Sanchez controversy, and then we've obviously people getting injured and pulling out. I think it was originally meant to be Dillashaw versus Sandhagen as the main event, but we did eventually get 11 fights named, and then 2 cancelled on weighing day because people miss weight and stuff like that. So we ended up with actually 9 fights, 3 on the prelims, which was Carlston Harris. Getting the first round sub against Christian Aguilera, Park Ju-young getting the decision against Tafon Chukwu, who was actually dot points for I think it was for airpoking a couple of times and a few low kicks, low blows, and then Mark Trezano getting the decision in the third round against Ludovic Klein. So then going on to the main card, we opened with Phil Hawes and Kyle Dawkinson, and for me, I think this was the most entertaining fight of the whole card. Carlos started off with Dawkus trying to control with the ground game, but Hawes, you could tell he was very, very dangerous on his feet and with his strikes. I think after that really dominant first round, I think Hawes did really well to pick up his game. He actually ended up going for more takedowns than Dawkins did, and he was able to control Dawkins on the ground, which was a real shot. But whenever it was on the feet, goddamn, Hawes looked like he had some power behind his hands. I think there's a point where it looked like he broke Kyle Dawkins' nose, but there was also some points where Hawes looked like he was rocked. But going through in the third round, I think this was the most dominant round for Hawes. He absolutely just demolished Dawkus, and there was plenty of time that I thought he was going to actually land a knockout punch. Unfortunately, for Hawes, he wasn't able to, but he easily got the unanimous decision. Carlos, what do you reckon of this fight?
Carl came in obviously the favourite to win the fight, but he came in with a game plan of I'm going to try and tire Phil out. Now, it's fair enough you doing that, but how's your cardio in the first place? How can you even push yourself that much to get him tired originally, and you actually still have enough gas in the tank left to actually finish the fight? And in this case, it didn't look like Kyle sort of tried to wrestle with him in the first, realised, hang on a minute, shit, a bit too strong here. And Phil just weren't letting up. His gas tank was not running out, even if he was trying to wrestle him or whatever. So I think his coach has given the perfect, somewhat perfect advice, even though it was probably the worst round for him. His coach has given the better advice to basically let go of the trying to secure the takedown and see what they can do on the feet. And just unfortunately, Phil was just a all round better fighter tonight and better than Carl. And people should have won money. If you put bets on, you definitely won with the underdog.
Yeah, absolutely. Then going into the second fight, and what I think pretty much everyone tagged as going to be probably the fight of the night. And even though it didn't go to the end, it certainly didn't disappoint. Diego Ferreira taking on Gregor Gillespie. First round, Gregor thought he might have bit off more than he could chew. Ferreira was really good with the opening shots. Gillespie did try for a takedown, but Ferreira was very agile. I mean, there was times when his leg was higher up than his head. It was just the way he was able to kind of like defend against the takedowns, but he was also really good at kind of like switching position and rolling into different moves. And I think Gillespie was kind of like struggling, like, oh dear, what am I going to do? He's clearly as good as me on the ground, and when it's on the feet, he can hurt me. But then we get into the second round, and Ferreira really tries to open up with the boxing. Gillespie again going down for the takedown, doesn't get it, and he was actually starting to get bullied now. So Gillespie just would not give up on that takedown. It was a case of just trying his best to keep Ferreira down, doing a lot of transitions. And then just as we get in towards the end of the round, Gregor Gillespie he's actually got Ferreira's back, and he's able to just land punch after punch after punch. And the referee I think it was Chris Tognoni, calls the fight with a few seconds of the second round to go. And I think Gregor Gillespie has pulled a win out of what was probably going to be a loss for me, but a good victory for him, and he moves on.
He definitely does move on, especially with near enough getting, he definitely got hurt in the first.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Was he rocked getting close to knockout? Only he'll sort of know. But yeah, especially in that fight, Carlos was dangerous in the first round. But Gregor Gillespie, he did the game plan that Carl wanted to do, and he sort of did it, and it worked out for him. Yes, guaranteed. Coming after the first round, he was gassing, and it was a bit wobbly from fatigue. But when you noticed in the second round, the takedowns are becoming a lot more easy for him. Carlos wasn't really defending them. That's the only reason why he was sort of gassing out after the first round, to push the pace to enough to where, again, it worked out. And Ferreira weren't able to sort of defend the takedowns or defend really a lot of stuff in the second or in the third. So when it came to the end of the second, like it was going into the third, Gillespie were just able to just open up and just basically empty the fuel tank. As soon as them hooks was underneath the Ipton, elevated it, and Ferreira weren't going anywhere. Gillespie knew, just unleash the tank here and the rest going to stop it. Even if they weren't, they didn't even need to be hard blows, and the ref would have stopped it. But yeah, but that's what happened. And to say he had a win since 2019, he hasn't fought since 2019, you can tell it was a very emotional time for him.
Yeah. I mean, he even said in the post fight, he's not a spring chicken anymore. He's 34-year-old, so the win meant a hell of a lot to him. First of all, we've got in the chat, Tanner. Hello, Tanner. How are you today, sir? Let's get into this, the middle of this card. Carlson, probably the most disappointing fight of the lot. Maurice Greene taking on Marcos Rogério de Lima in the heavyweight division. And it actually started fairly bright. Both guys were swinging. A lot of missing, kind of like two drunk blokes throwing fists. But it did have potential to be a pretty decent fight. And then Lima took the fight to the ground and spent pretty much 12 minutes lying on top of Maurice Greene, not really doing a lot of work and doing just enough that the referee didn't stand him up. And I think the more interesting thing was, one, Maurice Greene's ground game is absolutely terrible. And his stand-up was not brilliant today at all, because he missed pretty much 90% of his shots. But the most interesting thing that happened in this fight was the eye poking and the shot after the bell, which had Maurice Greene really upset. Even Herb Dean throwing some F-bombs in there. I thought at the beginning of the third round it was actually going to get stopped because of the late punch, but Herb Dean calmed stuff down, really told Greene that he needs to be careful with the fingers. Told Lima that next time he'll be doing more than docking a point. But I don't actually think he docked a point, you know. No. Looking at the scorecards, he didn't dock the point. But again, we got a lot of the same thing. Lima, again, the fight down to the floor, and Greene just being smothered whilst Lima was not doing that much damage. Lima deserved the victory just because of the control on the ground, but I don't think any of these two fights can come out of this looking good. It was a woeful fight.
Oh, so Maurice Greene was dog shit tonight. He's practicing for Bellator, and you can't really blame him. You can understand. Yeah, fair enough. He should have done more. He was able to cross over into mount, which he didn't do, and were able to finish the fight again, which he didn't do. But you're getting paid that money. Maurice Greene, you've got him on the back, and he's not showing any signs of going anywhere. You stay in that position. You're winning the fight. Then, as shitty as it sounds, he's not getting hurt. He doesn't need to transition. Position over submission. Winning that fight no matter what, but it was a very boring fight, very shit fight at the end of the day. Like you see Dana White always saying about how
this is the fight I've been telling you all about on every single tweet,
and it's this fight just did not pay off. And Maurice Greene is such a letdown from basically what going to Winkle John. Mm-hmm. Didn't he win his last fight or something?
Well, I think he's now 4-4, so he's really kind of traded like wins and losses. But even when we saw him like making his debut in the first two fights that he made, you could see he had the potential. But I don't think in the eight fights that he's had in UFC, he's changed. I think he's still at the same level as he was when he first debuted.
Well, that's it. I don't really think he's improved ever since Tough, to be honest with you.
No, yeah, exactly.
Definitely not breaking into the. And it's not like he's young. What, he's like 33, 34. Yeah. So he's not no spring chicken himself. So, and he's just, for someone who's a professional fighter, he's so long and clumsy. Mm-hmm. Like he puts his head, the head movement is weird on him. And he throws a shot and he's sort of bowing down. And
yeah,
it's weird for me. I don't reckon I'd coach him.
Before we get into the next fight, let's just have a quick word from one of our sponsors at Drizzly.
Do you need to restock your alcohol, but you just really don't want to get off the couch? Well, Drizzly has you covered with beer, wine, and liquor delivered directly to your doorstep. Head over to drizzly.sjv.io/STI, where you can shop a massive selection of beer, wine, and liquor. You can compare prices in your local area, and you can choose immediate delivery, which will have the alcohol delivered to your doorstep in just 60 minutes. Drizzly serving 180 markets, and they're just getting started.
So after the terrible fight of Green versus De Lima, we got Neil Magny versus Jeff Neal, two fighters who are trying to really kind of make that break here in the welterweight division. Magny's had a really good run of recent, and Jeff Neal, the kind of wheels have fell off the wagon a little bit after like such a good start to his UFC career. And I don't know how happy he'll be with his performance in this fight. First round, I mean, all three rounds were pretty much all the same. Magny trying to clinch a lot with Neil to avoid getting hit, because he has his nickname is not Hands of Steel for no reason. The guy hits like an absolute freight train. But Magny was able to use that decisive heart and reach advantage to pick off his shots when he needed to, but then grip and pull Jeff Neal in for clinching, and then land the knees and the elbows in the clinch. And it just I feel that Jeff Neal had no kind of second plan. Obviously, when Magny is there trying to clinch with you, I don't think Neil had any kind of other mentality than just try and break away and land shots, which he was just not able to do enough in the fight. For me, I mean, we're not huge fans of Neil Magny because of his past transgressions with performance enhancing drugs and stuff like that, but I've got to give him his props. He came with a game plan that worked. He was able to kind of phase out Jeff Neal and kind of like nullify that pressure from those big shots. And he moves up, hopefully for him, he'll get a bigger name in his next fight.
Hopefully, like I say, but Jeff Neal's a very dangerous guy in the feet. Yeah, fair enough. Granted, his last couple of fights, he's not put on the best performance or shown the best versions of himself. But that doesn't take away from the fact is that Neil were able to, like you said, he were able to close that distance well when he needed to and clinch up, and he were able to keep Neil away far with that jab and use his reach really well. And that's what won in the fight. And at the end of the day, what can you do? Jeff Neal comes away the loser out of this, and sometimes that's what happens when you're a one-trick pony and you need to be able to mix it up. And with people like Neil Magny, who have got the reach on you and that heart on you, it only takes a little bit of skill and technique from them, and the next thing before you know it, you can't even touch them. They're keeping you at bay with a jab. And again, if you're a power hitter, they're just going to clinch you up. And if they're bigger than you, odds are they're getting their sharp elbows and sharp knees off quicker than you are with your big overhand rights.
Yep. So then after that, we got the co-main event. Donald Cerrone was meant to be facing Diego Sanchez. And I don't know, Carl, if you've seen the video of Diego Sanchez hung upside down by Josh Fabia and being slapped and kicked.
And kicking him. Really? Don't know what the fuck's going on there. He needs a boot in that knob.
Yeah, I mean, CT is definitely a thing, and I think Diego Sanchez is very much suffering.
I think his coach has got it as well.
Yeah, so anyway, Alex Morono took the fight on short notice, and I think this was make or break for Donald Cerrone, because this guy's not won since May of 2019 when he beat Ale Quinta. Bad decision. He's then lost to Ferguson, lost to Gaethje, obviously lost to McGregor, lost to Pettis, and then I think his last fight was the draw against Nico Price. and then he's been finished in the first round yet again. And he absolutely got after for me. I think he started fairly brightly, doing what Donald Cerrone normally does, but you can tell he's just lost that kind of that half second of pace. Just really kind of struggled to keep up with Moreno. Moreno's jabs were really good. Cerrone was obviously he was elite level kickboxer, so his kicks to the body were on point. But the end of the fight come when Cerrone actually landed a really good jab, and it looked like it hurt Moreno, but Moreno just swung that overhand right all the way around, massive arc, clocks Cerrone, wobbles him, and then he just gets blitzkrieged and swarmed, and the basically gets a standing TKO when Mark Goddard calls it with about 20 seconds left. Is that the end of Cerrone in the UFC?
You know what? It could possibly well be, because with him not having the best track record in his last handful of fights, you've only got to ask yourself, is it worth putting him through the punishment and the damage that a fighter puts the body through leading up to the fight, getting in the fight and actually putting on the fight? Mm-hmm. You've got to ask yourself, Is he too old? Is he time coming to an end? Like, what is it, like 36-16, 0-2, no contest? That's a big record for someone who's been fighting for a hell of a long time. He, over 10 years in the UFC. Sometimes you, especially with Dana, we've seen it time and time again, where even with his close friends with Chuck Liddell, he's reached out to him to basically give his advice of, I think he should basically hang it up. And I know they asked Donald Cerrone were a bit pissed off at the question, but at the end of the day, he's got to understand, when you, especially coming from a fan's point of view, when you've basically, that my point, I grew up watching Cowboy Cerrone, like WEC when he fucking egged Ben Henderson. So it's hard to watch someone who's on absolute tear, just an absolute cowboy, just ripping everybody up, just absolutely not giving a fuck, to still not giving a fuck, but then taking a beating, taking more head abuse that you don't need to take, because every hit's trauma at the end of the day. That's the way you've got to see it, especially in this game, the way you've got to see it. Every hit to your head potentially could be your last. So, yeah. It's one of them. For me, I'd be telling him to think about not. I don't think he goes to any other promotion. I think he's one of their fighters if he's too loyal to the UFC. Even if they were to cut him, I think he would retire anyway rather than go to another one.
I think in all his fighting, in his MMA career, he's only ever had 7 fights outside the UFC before he came in.
And that's when the UFC obviously bought.
And then he's been, like a decade in the UFC. So, yeah, I think as sad of a way for it to go out, I'd rather he go out still having all his faculties. And the dude can go, and do his surfing and his motorbiking, all the stuff that USC stopped him from doing because he's an absolute animal, and still be able to like talk and make sense.
Yeah, and not only that, he's got his BMF, the baddest motherfucking ranch now, with his own training gym and his own training facilities. He doesn't need to fight anymore. Like, he's got to the point now where he's fighting criteria speaks for itself, and he'll get his own fighters. He'll have his own team of fighters who'll go on these regional shows. He'll go in his sort of footpaths, and it's always a good thing for fighters to sort of pass their knowledge on to the next generation. It's not a fair enough. It might not be the same sort of money you get now, but at the end of the day, it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. So just before we get into this main event, So a few words from our other sponsor here over at Sleafs.
you want to look good while working out, then Sleeps has you covered. With over 1,000 print styles for men, women, and children, Sleeps has something for everyone. Head over to Sleeps.com, that's S-L-E-E-F-S.com. Find what you like, and at checkout, remember to type in the promo code STSI25 for 25% off your entire purchase. That's Sleeps.com, S-L-E-E-F-S.com, and at checkout, STSI25 for 25% off your purchase.
So, the main event, Marina Rodriguez taking on the karate hotter, Michelle Waterson, and this is probably as dominant as a five round as you're going to see in the next few weeks. Marina Rodriguez really kind of was able to stuff everything that Michelle was throwing at her. Michelle's never been really known as someone with a knockout power, using that karate base to wear down opponents more than anything. And she scores a lot of wins by decision. But unfortunately, she just wasn't able to compete with the power and the strength of Rodriguez throughout this fight. I mean, you've got to give it Michelle because she's got an absolutely huge heart and never say die attitude. I think even getting into the last one, I think she's got a broken jaw and she still was not giving up at all. But she was very, very much dominated in this fight. Rodriguez's shots were much more powerful. Wharton did get some kind of success with the kicks, but it was just... there was just not enough of it. And anytime she tried to change levels, Rodriguez was just able to batter away and knock her off balance. There were a few mistakes from Rodriguez. She kind of does jump in a little bit too early and leaves herself open. And a couple of times that she was off balance because of that. But all in all, I think Michelle Wharton was just not able to handle the power and the dynamism of Rodriguez. And for me, Marina definitely deserved this victory, and it was a classy win for her.
Yeah, definitely. The power was definitely on the playing field today, and that was what equally leveled out this fight. Obviously, Michelle Waterson with her karate style, with that leg kick and turned it into a straight round, a high roundhouse. That was just beautiful, but I expect nothing less than from Michelle Waterson. But Marina Rodriguez, she's been in the UFC for a couple of years. It's been a bit of a up and down, a couple of draws, one loss, a couple of wins in there. And like you said, she's not known as a knockout artist in a way. It's either a draw or a decision. And in this case, it was a decision, which was, again, like I just said, one of the others, so it was to be expected. But that's not to say that she wasn't fighting. She was fighting from round one to round five, and she just wasn't able to put Michelle Waterson away. But when you get higher in them rankings, it gets a lot harder to start finishing fighters and getting submissions and getting all this stuff. So that's why you put in enough work, you're going to get a bonus, and that's sometimes what you have to do when you, like I said, when you get into these higher number rank fighters. It's not like you're fighting the basically Tim Antic pub. You're fighting the rank five.
Tim is a dickhead.
you're ranking people who's the best fighters in the world. So you're not always going to be able to just come in there and do what she did in her Muay Thai career, and that would basically put people away. And she's not going to be able to do it in this division. But two wins this year, maybe she can get a third one in that strawweight division. Maybe she can start making a name for herself and pushing herself for that title.
Yeah, maybe. I think we might have to be getting to the point where she's going to be a gatekeeper. She's never going to be able to reach the hearts of champion, and to be fair, if you look at the women's champions now, they're all killers. They're all absolute killers. So unfortunately, I don't think Michelle quite fits in that category. But she's always going to be a fighter who will leave everything she can in that octagon. And you've got to give her praise for that. But tonight was just Marina Rodriguez's night, and she fully deserved that victory. Looking forward to next week's card, and this is stacked, Carlos. I'm just looking through the prelims now, and even the prelims makes a decent card. You've got Antonina Shevchenko on there, Lando Venata, Matt Schnell, and Jacare versus Andre Muniz is the feature prelim. And then on the main card, Barbosa versus Burgos, Katlyn Chookagian versus Viviana Rajo, Jack Hermanson against Edmund Shabazin, Tony Ferguson against Benil Dariush. What a lineup for Dariush that is. If he can pick off Tony Ferguson, that really kind of makes a mark for him in that lightweight division. But then that main event for the vacant lightweight title, Dobronx Charles Oliveira, finally, after so long in the UFC, and after win after win after win after win, getting his chance. But he has to only just beat Michael Chandler. That's all you have to do, beat Michael Chandler. But yeah, we'll definitely be around for that next week. So we would appreciate if you are tuned in for that. This is pretty much the end of the show. Thank you all for watching and listening along. You can follow me on Twitter at DAJKurtby. Follow Carlos here at Kurtby_Carlos. Definitely go and check out all the rest of the amazing content from the networks we're involved in, at Shooting the Sports Ish, at Visionaries Global Media, and obviously at Chairshot Media Group. Thank you all for listening, and that is the end.
Adios, amigos.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.